My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Philadelphia Eagles got my attention today.
How so?
Well, they made a trade.
Yeah.
But it's not just that they made a trade. It's the trade they made. And my mind immediately went to last year's Niners-Eagles game. And just for a moment, act like the roles were reversed.
Okay.
You were rolling. You're the 49ers. You think big, big things about yourself. You swagger. You swagger everywhere you go. You talk a lot. You got an Italian head coach who just wants to tell you all about it. You got somebody
named Italian hitman.
Yeah, you got a hitman on the sideline who nobody's ever heard of, who's an instant celeb. No, but pretend
you were 10-1. You beat Buffalo in overtime,
and you would just beat Kansas City also.
Yep.
And who was it the week before? Was it Miami?
It was Dallas. Then you had the bye.
Okay, you had just beat the creme de la creme of the NFL, and you're at home.
The only team that beat you was the Rodgers-less Jets,
which was odd.
Weird.
Jalen Hurts handed that thing away late.
Totally.
But anyway, you're
4 turnovers.
10-1? Was that the record?
10-1.
Okay, Niner fans, how would you have reacted? You're 10-1 and you're hosting the Eagles at Levi's and you think you are the bee's knees. Oh, you think you are special. You think you are the best team in the NFL and you don't think it's close. And then you take a lead at the end of one quarter in your own building, and Levi's is lit up. I mean, it's loud. Everybody's drunk. And from that moment forward, three quarters play out that are so unbelievably embarrassing. You get clowned on your home field.
They got clowned.
Your hitman gets thrown out of the game. Your head coach's entire world ends up exposed. Apparently, you weren't getting along with the quarterback. And not only do you get embarrassed at home, Dibs, you never get it back. You never get it back. You barely win another game the rest of the year.
They beat the Giants.
You fall into the playoffs where you get embarrassed again.
At Tampa.
And quickly get sent home.
Yeah.
If that had happened to us, how would you be reacting?
You'd be furious.
Well, wouldn't you? I think when I see what the Eagles did this offseason, I think they took that game with them into the offseason. And they are a hamster on a wheel, man. They're like, yep, Saquon Barkley. Pay one receiver? Forget that. Let's pay two. And then 2 weeks before the season, let's acquire another receiver. Let's do it. We're paying offense. We're going to go weaponry central. We are all in. Double down. Freak out. Lose it. Let's go. Meanwhile, over in Niner land, cigars, smoking jackets, ottomans, and unsigned players. Beepity boppity boop. The sound of the soundtrack of the Niners and the Eagles offseason is very different.
Yeah, the Eagles is heavy metal and loud music, yes. And let's go, let's try to ramp it up. And for the Niners, it's classical or jazz, whichever one you prefer, and it's everything's fine. Maybe it's ocean sounds or whatever you put on your sound machine before bed, and you know, we've got a little white noise for the baby, nice and low, but it's like a steady little. And that's kind of what it is down there right now, because you are defending NFC champs. And if everybody comes in and everybody's ready, you're very good. And like you said, Vegas tells you you're the favorite or the co-favorite to win the whole damn thing. So why do you need to really shake things up, even though all around you, teams are getting better and you're staying the same?
I mean, who else? I mean, let's take where Evan was taking this conversation. Who else scares you in the NFC? Anyone?
I don't think anyone scares you.
Well, let me change the word then. Who has your attention?
I think Green Bay has your attention. Okay. Detroit still has your attention. The Rams quietly have your attention, okay. I think.
Okay.
I mean, the Rams are still a very good team.
They're a good team.
Yeah, they have a good quarterback, good offense, and a good head coach. But Dallas, they have your attention, but exactly. Your response is perfect because, yeah, Dallas.
Dallas,
right?
Quick aside.
Sure.
49ers fans, you think you've had a bad offseason?
Wow.
You think your vibes are bad? The Dallas Cowboys have had potentially the most head-scratching offseason I've ever seen a playoff contender have. I literally don't understand what just happened. What did they do? Like, Michael Gallup's not there anymore. You went out and signed a running back. He's your old running back. He's only older. You don't even know who your running back is. Your best player is still sitting there waiting for a contract. The only thing you've said about him is, we don't miss you. And your franchise quarterback is making $40 million, yet you've made him sort of feel like he makes $5 million, and he's got to go out there and prove himself again. Meanwhile, the lead story of the preseason is, hey, look, Trey Lance is sort of like not awful.
Looks pretty good.
No, he doesn't, but he doesn't look as bad as he used to. I don't know what they're doing. What are they doing?
Yeah, they're stuck in the past is what they're doing.
If the Niners have had a bad offseason, then the Cowboys have had a worse one.
They have, but you know, to your point about who scares you, I think that Detroit comes back hungrier than ever, looking to bite a kneecap, and Green Bay is still, their quarterback is going to be better. If Brock Purdy is going to be better, then Jordan Love is also going to be better, their young core of receivers and running backs and tight ends are going to be better, and you know, somebody's going to win the East. It feels like it'll be Philadelphia, and so I look at the Rams, and you had a good point in the crossover about the NFC South. I do think that the South will be won by a team that actually wins 10 games, and Tampa's going to be pretty good. They might be a little bit better, and Atlanta should be a lot better. And then New Orleans, you never know. And Carolina, yeah. Well, I feel for you, Shaka Khan. But I do think that the middle of the NFC has gotten better. The middle of it. The top is still the top.
Is Philly on the list? Is Philly on your attention?
To me.
They're in the middle.
Philly has my attention, but you're going to have to show me, because like you said last year, and you called it actually weeks in advance, you said Philly's not the team that you think that they are. They were 10-1 coming into the Niner game, and you said long before, because I asked you like in October, I said, will these two teams both be undefeated when they meet in December? And you said, no. Of course not. And I said, wait, are you down on the Niners? He said, no, Philadelphia is a fraud. Philadelphia is not the team that you think that they are. And well, they came in 10-1, and I was still like, Mark, Philadelphia, huh? Am I right? And then they go up 6-0, and then the Niners score 42 points, and the Eagles lost that game, and I just checked it to make sure. They lost 42-19.
42-19.
Without a turnover.
Yeah.
They did not turn the ball over.
No, the 49ers, correct me if I'm wrong, you scored a touchdown on 6 consecutive drives.
I believe it was 6 straight. And I was looking at the
6 consecutive drives, Randy?
Ayuk, McCaffrey, Debo, Jawan, Debo.
Yeah. Oh, Debo went bananas.
Banana land.
Go watch Receiver on Netflix and just remember the Eagle game through the eyes of Debo Samuel. And it's pretty orgasmic if you're a 49ers fan. It is. It's pretty great.
Yep. It was Niners drives. It's punt, punt, touchdown, 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 end of game.
And then Ottoman. Yeah, yeah.
End of game.
End of game. 42-19, yeah. And you were down 6-0 at the end of one quarter.
Right.
And when did just, the, when did the, by the way, wasn't, I think the Eagles put some garbage points up, didn't they?
They had a touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
They had one in the third, one in the fourth.
All right.
But it was, yeah, it was pretty much Ottoman City. It was 28-13 at the end of three.
Man.
Yeah, it was like you said that it was going to be. And then the Eagles promptly went out and lost five of the next six, including the playoff game to Tampa, where they barely showed up.
Yeah, the statement, I remember a conversation we had, and the statement that I made when everyone was like, this is a preview of the NFC Championship right. game. I go, you're missing something. The Eagles aren't going to be there.
Yep.
They're not going to make it.
Yeah, you said that over and over.
And
I didn't buy it for a long time.
I didn't even know it was going to be that bad.
Right.
Like, I knew there was some problems, and I knew that there were some things that were super quirky in their favor if you looked at the way they got to 10-1. I didn't think they would, like, never win another game, practically. Like, that was crazy.
And they beat the Giants.
Again, they didn't win another game against an NFL team.
Yep.
And I just started thinking about that when they made... And by the way, we should back up for those of you who are, like, you know, I don't know, working and have lives.
Sure.
Give me the trade, Grandy. So, Jahan Dotson, who is sneaky. I know that's not a big name. I think Jahan Dotson is a good player. And if you go tuck him in to an Eagles offense, remember now, this is a guy that's been playing in Washington with no quarterback for the last few years. Now, and also has been asked to, like, have a larger role. If you go stick him in an Eagle offense where Barkley's in the backfield, Jalen Hurts is your quarterback, and you're just using him on passing downs, where the defense is thinking about A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, Jahan Dotson will go move the ball down the field on you now.
I love it.
Like, you better watch. He can do some things. So I think this is a phenomenal acquisition for the Eagles. And correct me if I'm wrong, they give up, Washington gives up Jahan and a fifth. Is that right? Yes. Washington gets a third and multiple sevenths?
Two sevenths, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So there's your deal. I think it's a great deal for the Eagles.
For sure.
I think Washington is not in win now mode. So they gather some more assets and they're going to open up some space for some younger receivers who Jaden Daniels is probably working well with. And I think the Eagles are reacting to what was the date of that game? It was November or December?
It was December, early December. It was the 3rd of December. It was the 3rd of December.
I think that their entire offseason has been about that day.
Yeah.
I think that they were embarrassed, and they're mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore.
Well, and you realized on that day that you were a fraud.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had your security guy, Big Dom. Hey, it's Big Dom. I got thrown out. He tried to have his little imprint on the game, and even that didn't work. And you realize that the best of the NFC was far better than you were. And then your hangover was that you went to Dallas and lost, and then you went out and you lost virtually every other game. You lost at Seattle, and then you beat the Giants, but you lost to Arizona. You lost to the Giants again. You limped in the playoffs. You went to Tampa Bay, and you lost that game 32-9. And I don't think that Tom Brady quarterbacked that team now.
God. It was not close.
I think that was Baker Mayfield.
No, they were not a functional football team.
They were broken.
After the Niners.
The Niners broke them.
The Niners broke them. And they went out this offseason to fix it. And I think that the takeaway from a 49er fan is to look at this and go, does this offseason feel complacent to you? Does it feel complacent to you? And I know where most of your minds are going to go right away, and it's to the two unsigned stars. By the way, I got a little nugget.
Okay, a little nuggy nug?
Well, this is just an odds note that I saw from our guy, Shapiro.
Okay.
And it has to do with Brandon. We're not going to annoy you. We're not going to break down the lack of a contract. We're not going to tell you tweets about nothing. But there's something that Shapiro sent out with regard to wide receiver odds that I think you should hear. And so I'll have that for you coming up in a few. But with two unsigned big names, the cancellation of a joint practice, Christian McCaffrey skipping the preseason, and all of that going on while the Eagles are like, we're signing this guy, we're signing that guy, and we're going to give this guy money, and Devonta, everybody. Like, does it feel like the Niners are a little complacent? while the Chasers are not. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's not like I wanted the Niners to go make some other acquisition.
Yeah.
They've got the people, but this is the cost of doing business when you're the big dog. Everybody's coming to get you now. And so it's hard when everyone else is like making bold moves to get better.
Yeah.
And you're just like, we're already good. So we're just going to stay right how we are.
Hard to get a lot better when you have as much sunk into what you have sunk in and you thought you could do it in the draft. But those players like Pearsall has not been able to step up and really help you in the short term. But yeah, you're right. All your competitors around you feel like they've gotten better.
Let's take some calls, huh? Do you feel like this has been a complacent offseason for the 49ers? 888-957-9570. We'd love to talk to you. We're sponsored by Express Employment Professionals, Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not insulting Brockford, but...
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, you know what the cool thing is about this this world and this platform? Everybody's allowed to think what they think.
Yeah.
Y'all allowed to have that now.
No doubt.
888-957-9570, just like this from 925, what up, East Bay? Talking about the Eagles. They were barely winning in previous games. Nobody broke nobody. Disagree. Couldn't disagree more firmly. Right, they were barely winning previous games because they were playing the creme de la creme of the NFL, and they were 10-1. You don't go 10-1, and you stink. The Eagles were a very good football team. They beat Buffalo. They beat Kansas City. They beat Dallas.
They beat Miami.
They beat Miami. They had beaten everybody but the
49ers. They beat the Rams on the road.
They beat the Rams.
They beat Tampa, a playoff team.
And they beat the 49ers in the first quarter of that game.
Yep.
And then they got pantsed in the center of the town. and they never pulled them back up. The Niners broke them.
Yep.
They broke them in half. They won one more game the rest of the year. That is a stunning reversal, no matter how quirky their wins were before that. So that's all I'm seeing and saying, and I get it. If I'm the Eagles, I would have done the exact same thing. They've been very aggressive with big-name, skill position players. I think they watched the 49ers do what they did. Read off those names again. TD, 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 like Debo, Christian, Debo.
Jawan,
Debo. Yeah. Everything ended with a Debo. Debo went crazy. And so what did they go do? They paid two wide receivers. They acquired Saquon Barkley. And now, if you aren't familiar with Jahan Dotson, I'm not going to liken him to Debo. He's a much smaller presence than Debo Samuel is. Curtis Samuel kind of played the Debo light role in Washington last year. But Jahan is that kind of player that you could do a lot of different things with around the line
Definitely.
Of scrimmage. And a fast player. And so they've gone weaponry crazy. And I think it's in a direct reaction to the San Francisco 49ers.
He's going to be their third receiver, and they do a lot of 11 personnel, three receiver sets, and he's going to be a guy who's a weapon. He's a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. He's a first-round talent and a guy who is lightly used in Washington because they aren't very good. So now he has a chance to go in there and play the slot, 5'11", 182. He had a better year last year than he did his rookie year, and he's in a perfect spot where he's trying to get that next contract. So he has a chance to show out and maybe go out there and get paid. And I do think your point about Philadelphia is accurate, and forget whatever the texter said, because they led the Niners 6-0 in that game, and they played three more quarters, and then they played six more games after that, and they were a minus 85 over the course of those next six games and three quarters. And the only one that they won was a gutsy 8-point win at home over the New York Football Giants.
Hapless.
They lost to Arizona at home.
Yeah.
They lost to the Giants on the road.
By the way, that Arizona game was a big one. If you remember, I do believe that's the game that remember this got profiled on Netflix. Certain members of the 49ers walked up on Mike Silver right after they had won a game, and Mike pulled it up on his phone and was like, look, the Eagles are like losing to Arizona, and whatever it was, fourth down or whatever, stay alive there at the end. And they watched on Silver's phone as Arizona clinched the game against the Eagles, which clinched the one seed for the Niners.
That's right.
And those great players, Kittle being one of them, and thank you, George, for coming on 95.7 The Game earlier today. We'll have some of that. That was awesome. But Kittle was one of them where he looked at that game, and it wasn't just we clinched the one seed. He's like, I think I might wear jeans next week.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody played against the Rams. My poor kids. I'd gotten them tickets to that game, and
they went
and watched a bunch of backups play each other.
James Conner scores from 2 yards out for Arizona with 36 seconds left. Arizona takes the lead 35-31. Night-night, Philadelphia. That's the way that went. So, yes, the Niners did break Philadelphia, and you actually were the one here on this station to say that you thought that Philadelphia was more than vulnerable, and it turned out to be right.
And is it wild that this trade today, by the way, is in the division? How does that grab you?
It's a little bit wild, but
that's
honestly,
aggressive.
Yes, but Washington's not really in the division. They're not. I mean, if you want to.
But they are. I mean, I get what you're saying.
Sure.
That's a
funny. Technically, they are, but.
They're more in the division than the Giants are right now,
yeah,
I'd argue.
The Giants still think that they're in the division.
I'll take Washington over the Giants this year.
Okay.
I'll take Washington for that race for third place in the NFC
East. I've already lost a bet on Washington, which resulted in me rubbing Loneil's feet.
Oh, well, get over that. How many years has it been?
No, I will never get over that.
How many years has it been?
It was pre-COVID for sure.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Because post-COVID, there's no way I'm touching another man's feet. That's probably 6 years back.
Oh, hell, dibs.
5 years back. And I can't remember exactly what the bet was. I think it had to do with Washington having, like, winning seven games or something. And it came down to the last week. They didn't get it done. Thank you, Grandy.
Hell, dibs.
Can we on this show, this is like live spitballing here. Can we just, let's make a lot of bets this year. And not for money.
And not for foot rubs.
Well, I don't want a foot rub.
I'm really good at it.
But I'm into embarrassing
it's a
bets.
Fact,
I am here for
keep
embarrassing
that to yourself.
Bets.
I'm just elite.
You know,
elite,
some of the audience knows that once upon a time at a previous radio station, another host had to wear a thong for a week.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? Like another host once upon a time had to sing "I'm a Loser" on a social media outlet. Once upon a time, this radio host had to sing "You Are the Wind Beneath My Wings."
Oh, jeez. These are all easy.
But they're embarrassing.
Once upon a time on this station, there was a host that had to do a thing called Jamarcus Russell, where he went down Market Street in a Jamarcus Russell jersey, advocating for the Raiders to bring back Jamarcus Russell.
I'm in on it. Can we do that? I want to do embarrassing bets this. Can we do one a week? Embarrassing bets.
We can do it. And
I want to do embarrassing bets.
We can bring back, and the bit that we used to do, it was called Punishing Picks, where the Rise guys, Whitey, Kreidler, and myself, we would pick every game, and whoever came in last, you had to do a punishment. It was Punishing Picks. And Mark Kreidler had to sing his own rendition of Playoff Time, Dashing Through the Snow. It was a whole thing, and it lived and lived. And lived. Punishing Picks was a great bit.
Lovely Christy just texted.
Oh, God.
No context needed. She just wrote, no!
Totally.
Like, stop. Stop talking. Shh. Don't do this now.
Embarrassing bets with Willard and Dibs.
No, we don't need to do one a week. I just want to let everybody know, I am open to the embarrassing bet.
Nobody, you hear that, Christy?
Well, nobody needs to get naked. Like, nobody needs to get arrested. We don't need to do that.
I told you about the bit where Lo Neal had to walk naked down Market Street.
Well, let's not.
The bit was there was going to be a dog named Naked, and he was going to walk naked.
That's pretty funny.
It's funny, but it's a little disingenuous.
A lot.
The bet never got paid
really,
off.
Really disingenuous would be like, I'm going to walk naked down Market Street, but I'll have clothes over the naked body.
Right.
Like, you know.
Bit was the dog would be named Naked, so he would walk naked down Market Street.
I get it.
It's kind of funny.
I get it.
So the dog's named Naked. You get it, right?
It did not go over my head. It's pretty,
I thought it was clever, but also disingenuous.
You explained it a third time?
Probably for you, Grandy.
Yeah, I'm a little slow back here.
Exactly.
Are you eating?
He's always eating.
What are you eating?
An apple?
Oh.
He's either eating or he has his mouth thing in, teeth thing.
Who eats more during breaks, Mark Grandy or me?
Grandy.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not close. He's always eating.
First time in the history of my career where someone else on the show takes that crown.
I have a late lunch. What do you want from me?
I don't want anything from you. I want to know what you're eating because I love food and I wasn't offered any.
An apple and a sandwich every day. You want a slice of my apple?
No, that's weird. You've already bitten into it.
I have it sliced up.
What kind of sandwich?
Oh, you know, sliced chicken and tomato
with
and
the crust
pesto.
Cut off.
No.
What kind of bread?
Sourdough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sourdough.
Yeah, Grandy. That's my guy right
there. It's a man after your own heart, no doubt. That is your guy.
He's in there with sourdough and chugging 2:42 in the afternoon, just getting after it. It's my guy. All right. Anyway, Washington's going to finish ahead of New York in the NFC East.
Yeah, I'm not willing to make that bet. I mean, it's a battle of 5-12 against 4-13.
Oh.
I don't want to sit here and root for Danny Dimes all year. Both those teams are terrible, and my point was Washington is not in the division.
I love Jaden Daniels. He got out of the way for this show once upon a time.
Yeah, he had no choice.
Got a little too involved with Brandon Ayuk and TikTok in the offseason, but hey, we do things for friends, even if they're bad ideas. I promised you something about Brandon Ayuk from our guy Jimmy Shapiro. And for you listeners who don't know who Jimmy Shapiro is, he is an email address. Somewhere along the line, he's actually a real person. But I get, how many emails a day do we get from Jimmy?
About 3 or 4.
Okay.
Yep.
And all of them are like quirky odds about this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
Most of them sport. Sometimes there's politics or something in there or Twitter info map. But this one came across, and it's fantasy football. It's not real football, but you tell me, do you gather anything from this or not? Okay. He sent out the odds for each position on the football field and the odds for players to lead the fantasy leagues in scoring this year at that position. So, for example, most regular season fantasy points by a quarterback. The favorite, Josh Allen.
Yep.
Second favorite, Jalen Hurts, then Mahomes, then Lamar, and then tied for five, Anthony Richardson, C.J. Stroud, Dak Prescott. Want to know where Purdy is just for fun?
I haven't heard him. He's got to be way down there.
No, not way down there. A short way down there after that.
Okay.
I mentioned it goes Allen Hurts, Mahomes, Jackson, and then a tie with Richardson, Stroud, Prescott. Then 12-1 Burrow, then 15-1 Jordan Love, Kyler Murray, and then Brock Purdy heads a group at 20-1.
Tied for 11th.
That also includes Jaden Daniels and Trevor Lawrence.
Jeez. Okay.
Okay.
And again, that's this Brock. Is fantasy football, which doesn't surprise me because I would not expect Brock to put up big fantasy numbers for a team that threw it the 32nd most and a quarterback that doesn't run it a ton.
But it's,
he can run it.
Yeah, he runs it more than some. He runs it more than Dak Prescott.
More than Aaron Rodgers,
sure.
But he's tied for 11th in fantasy odds as far as leading the category goes.
Like, I mean, he is ahead of Caleb Williams, Justin Herbert, okay. Tua, Kirk Cousins.
Oh, ahead of Herbert. That's interesting.
He's ahead of all those guys. Okay? So, not nothing. But what do you gather from this? Most regular season fantasy points by a wide receiver.
Okay.
Now, the number one point you're going to respond with is the one that you already just made. 49ers don't huck it all over the yard.
Right.
And the secondary one is, yes, I know that they've got a lot of weapons.
Exactly.
But where do you think Mr. Ayuk stands on the list? Give me a ballpark.
I'd say 20th.
20th?
20th.
You say.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark Grandy with the chicken sandwich.
Don't talk. Just respond with buttons.
Do my guy a favor and give him a double ding. Give him a double ding. Because you nailed it on the mark.
He's 20th?
He is tied.
I'm going to cherish those dings.
He is tied for 20th. Alongside, now listen to this, okay?
I thought you were going to make me guess.
Alongside DJ Moore,
okay.
Malik Nabers, who's never played in the NFL and has crap at quarterback, and Stephon Diggs, who is a really good receiver but is also part of like a crazy receiver group. I heard someone say this morning, ooh, Eagles now have the best threesome of wide receivers in the NFL. Ah! Houston?
Pretty good.
Hi. Anyway, do you gather anything from this? Not just that he's 20th. Listen to the names in front of him, okay? Number one, who do you think's number one?
Got to be Justin Jefferson.
No, with Sam Darnold as the quarterback?
I'm on Ra.
No.
Tyreek Hill, my guy.
Mm-mm.
No, still?
Mm-mm.
Jeez, I'm glad we're buzzer-free here so far.
Yeah, you're three strikes, you're out. It's CeeDee Lamb.
Okay.
CeeDee Lamb is the favorite.
Currently holding out.
Yes,
so,
correct.
I mean,
but of course, it's not a Niner, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Ja'Marr Chase is holding out. He's not even in his fourth year yet. That's the weirdest one that no one's talking about.
True.
Ja'Marr Chase is holding out. That would be akin to if Brandon Ayuk could hold out last year. What?
Yeah.
What's going on? Anyway, CeeDee Lamb's number one, Tyreek Hill number two, Amon-Ra St. Brown is number three, then Ja'Marr Chase, then there's your Justin Jefferson, there's your top five. I'll roll through these: A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Puka Nacua, Chris Olave, Devontae Adams, Drake London, Marvin Harrison Jr., he's never played in the NFL before, Nico Collins, Mike Evans, Cooper Kupp, that's the number two wide receiver on the Rams, Devontae Smith, that's the number two wide receiver on the Philadelphia Eagles, Michael Pittman, good God, he only makes $23 million, Debo, that's Brandon's teammate, oh, by the
allegedly,
way,
yeah.
Then DK Metcalf of the Seahawks, followed by Jalen Waddle, that's the number two wide receiver on the Dolphins, and then
yeah,
you get to Brandon Ayuk. Does that say anything to you at all?
No, it says that this is a team that doesn't throw it a lot, but it also says to me that the market is not totally 100% sure that Brandon Ayuk is going to play football for the Niners this year. He might play football for someone else. He might not play football at all. It's no certainty that he's going to play football for the Niners. Like Debo, he's going to play for the Niners this year, and that's why his market is where it is. And for Brandon Ayuk to be that low, that to me speaks to a certain level of uncertainty about the market.
You know, it's interesting, though, because I've had a fantasy draft already.
Yep.
First of all, Debo, thank you.
Who went first of the two?
Well, Debo.
Ahead of Brandon.
I got to look it up. I'm almost sure. Yeah, Debo. But I think Debo, he's not going before Brandon because of the holdout. Because who are the first two, practically, of the top three receivers off the board? Who are two of them? CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase.
Exactly.
They're gone by pick eight. Siri, chill out.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Nobody's worried about those two guys. Now, I know there have been no trade rumors involved in them, but we got to get the NFL season starts 2 weeks from tonight. And CeeDee Lamb is not in camp, and Ja'Marr Chase has not suited up yet. They've not taken so much as a pass from their quarterback, and no one even blinks about these guys. Yet Brandon Ayuk is now this mystery. We don't know if he's going to play football this year, or we don't know who he's going to play for. I don't know how much of the numbers I'm seeing, again, just fantasy, I don't know how much of it actually has to do with the fact that he's holding out. I do think there's a piece of it that is, well, the Niners don't huck it around.
Yeah.
Debo is, he's got a higher floor because he also runs. So from a fantasy yeah. perspective, right?
But less so than he used to now that they have McCaffrey. He doesn't run it as much as he did in Correct. Previous years.
Correct. It's interesting, man.
Yeah.
Like what I guess here's sort of the vibe I keep getting about Brandon Ayuk is 1,300 yards and he's our guy. We've watched him grow. He's very good. He's gotten better every year. And he was a first-round draft pick, and so therefore homegrown, West Coast guy, blah, blah, blah. All of that stuff. Okay. But every time you get to, dude, what really makes the Niners tick? Forget the numbers. What makes the Niners tick? Dude, nobody brings up Brandon Ayuk. George Kittle, I heard him on with Bonte and Joe today, talking about Brock Purdy's confidence and the it factor, and we'll play it for you in a little bit, but the it factor that Brock has and how he's got so much moxie and confidence that he can walk into a huddle and give the most confident players in the world even more confidence. But you know who he mentioned? He goes, when you can walk into a huddle as a young player and give people like Debo Samuel and Trent Williams even more confidence than they already have, not a coincidence that you're talking about the Boombox Boys.
Exactly.
That's what makes the Niners tick. They both went out last year, bang, 3-game losing streak. I think that Kyle Shanahan is very aware of all this. And it's not that Brandon's not phenomenal, but he's not what makes the Niners tick.
And I'm looking at last year's fantasy points leaders at wide receiver, and Debo was 8th and Brandon Ayuk was 10th. And this is based on standard scoring with, you know, 1 point per catch and all the rest of it. So your fantasy rankings this year that have Brandon Ayuk down at 20th, I believe, is the number where he is. And last year he wound up at 10th. It's a little bit surprising. And I think that the market is looking at his possible holdout or maybe looking at a possible slow start where he's not going to be able to have the same numbers. Last year it was CD and Tyreek and Amon-Ra and Mike Evans, Puka Nacua. Turns out you had two of the top five, which is not coincidental as to why you won the league. And then DJ Moore, AJ Brown, Debo, Nico Collins, and Brandon Ayuk. So that's just on last year's numbers.
Yeah.
And yet Brandon's all the way down at 20 this year. I think that that's more about his situation because you're right, CeeDee Lamb is, you know, not likely to be a holdout. And, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is not likely to miss time. But Brandon Ayuk, you just don't know about.
The draft that I already did, and by the way, someone on the Xfinity Mobile text line says, can you please explain to listeners why the hell you'd have a fantasy draft in August considering things can change? Very simple answer. This is when people can get together, you know, like that. Like when you can do it. Aren't we doing ours in August? Are we doing ours next Wednesday?
Yeah, next Wednesday.
Isn't that still August?
28th. For sure.
6 days from today.
Yeah. I mean, hell, the season starts on September 9th. Yeah, September 5th.
Exactly.
I mean, like, that's only 5 days out. Anyway, but yes, did we do that one really early? And it's a super flex with two quarterbacks, so all the quarterbacks go too early. But you want to know where Debo went versus Brandon? Debo Samuel was the number one pick of the fourth round.
Okay.
Brandon was the number one pick of the fifth round.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Same team?
No.
Okay.
No. Snake.
You snake it right. Yeah, you snake that thing. You gotta snake that thing.
Snake that thing.
No doubt.
Yeah, snake that thing now. So, yeah. Debo's going earlier. And Brandon's your number one. He is the oddest number one receiver in football. There's no other NFL team that looks at their number one receiver and goes, he's option four.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's the weirdest thing.
And I guess he is their number one receiver, kind of.
I mean, he gets the most targets and the most yards.
But barely.
But so he's not what makes him tick.
But he's not like these other number ones like CeeDee Lamb and Tyreek and Amon-Ra and Mike Evans. And I mean, all the other teams that have real number ones, even Houston with Nico Collins. I mean, he's their number one, but mainly because, you know, Tank Dell got hurt. Now, this year, I think that Houston's going to spread it around a lot more. And, you know, you look at Minnesota with Justin Jefferson. Yeah, he's your number one. If you need a big play, if you need somebody to catch 12 balls in a game, he's the guy. But the Niners aren't built that way. Right. DK Metcalf in Seattle, he's the number one. Amari Cooper in Cleveland, he's their number one. Devontae Adams, he's the one. You could say that Brandon Ayuk is the number one. Okay, fine. But there is number one here. And if he is their number one, he might really, like you said, be their number four best option.
I think that all of us here in Fanland, we sit here and look at football through a completely different lens than a coach does. Which is, I'm not saying it should be any different. Like, that's our experience. We watch on a TV. We want stupid food. We play a stupid game. We're fans. And so whatever, we're like into the stats and everything. If I'm a football coach, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I am much more focused on what's my game plan? What makes us tick? When I get ready to go out there on Sunday, what am I leaning on in big moments? What am I game planning around? Who do I want to like fool the defense with? And when you answer all those questions, I think that has a profound effect on the experience we're having right now. Because the answer's not Brandon. It's Christian and Debo and then George and even Trent and all of these things. And then Brandon is often the beneficiary of all of that.
It just depends on the game.
Yeah.
And well, Kittle's a great example because there's some games where Kittle gets one target and there's some where he gets 11.
But it could still be big in the game plan because he's such a great blocker in the run
game.
Sure. You know? I think that's the way Kyle thinks about it. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Big trade by the Eagles this morning. Has this been a complacent offseason for the 49ers? 888-957-9570 is the number. It is Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.